Cecilia was leaning over her desk, scowling into a view screen.
What is it? Another little problem? Bad hawks.
Where?
This excuse for a hunter stallion. Look at it.
Harris came around to the end of the desk and looked at the shiny black horse on the view screen. It trotted back and forth, looking sound enough to her. Cecilia froze the picture and pointed.
Here, this is the problem. Those hawks should be much bigger.
No use trying to get Cecilia's mind shifted to the crew until she'd worked her way through the horse business.
It's the feet that always look too small to me. Why are the hawks too small?
The answer took longer than Harris had expected, because Cecilia insisted on bringing up video files on a dozen or so horses, as well as an animated skeletal model.
Yeah, I see, just like the ankles, as you said. Ankles sprain more often than knees or hips.
You are ridiculous. It's the same joint, but it's not the same stresses. Oh, I give up. What was it you came about?
Arash Lavati, who saved our skins, as you recall, has asked me a favor. He wants me to transport one of his crew who needs to be, out of touch for a while.
Why?
He didn't say exactly. It has something to do with the mess we were all in, and something the person overheard. He's a communications tech.
Is this a way of sneaking in another ex-military crew member?
No.
I don't like it.
Arash's medical teams saved Sirkin's life, and yours. We owe him, both of us. He got us back here, past potential enemies, in time for the Grand Council.
Cecilia's expression didn't soften.
You don't have to consider this person a crew member if you wish. Since it's technically my ship, consider him my guest.
You... You stinker. I almost wish I'd known you when you were all military. You must have been...
Difficult. Difficult is what they called it.
Brilliant on occasion, I've no doubt. If you were my age, I'd thrash you. But considering... I'll just put some interesting problems in your next riding lesson.
You can't mean that. You think I'm going on with riding?
It would exercise something besides your ingenuity. And you never know when physical fitness will come in handy. You and Petrus, for instance.
We have other ways of maintaining physical fitness.
I'll bet you have.
Other than that, I don't know why I thought you'd mellow after rejuvenation.
I don't either, and I didn't. Mellow was never my virtue. But we've had even honors on this one. I won't say any more about that man's crewman, whatever he is.
Thank you. May I ask why you were looking at that stallion whose hawks you didn't like?
Rotterdam. Those people did a lot for me. They're old friends, of course, but I want to do something for them. Of course, I can share the bloodstock I have there, but I've been doing that for years. What I'm looking for is some outcross lines that will broaden their base, that they couldn't possibly afford on their own.
Is that all the planet does? Raise horses?
Cecilia touched her screen and brought up a graphic montage.
Almost. It's a combination of climate, terrain, and the accidents of discovery and development. Horses are useful in a variety of ways, in colonization, self-replicating farm power, pack animals, in difficult terrain, personal transportation. But they are displaced if industrialization provides alternatives. So usually you have poor planets with horses, workhorses, and room to breed, but no recreational bloodstock. Then you have industrial planets with a demand for recreational horses, but those horses squeezed into less and less land. Rotterdam was settled as an agricultural world, complete with draft horses, but its climate is far better suited to permanent pasturage than grain farming. Someone apparently obtained some bloodstock semen and began breeding recreational horses.
How did they market them?
With great difficulty. But somehow they got a colt nominated for a famous stakes race, and got him there alive and capable of running. More than capable. That was Buccinator. It was one of his descendants that I rode at Bunny's. I bought into his syndicate as a young woman.
So you're going to find additional semen or whatever for your friends on Rotterdam?
Right. I've got a dozen cubes to review. Ordered them from bloodstock agents, and then we'll go take a look. So far, most of Rotterdam's produce is semen and embryos. It's too far off the main shipways, and very rarely can a group get together to haul mature animals someplace. When I first set up my stud there, I'd planned to work on that, but things changed. Anyway, if they have the quality, the money will follow, and provide transport.
Have you decided where to go first?
We're in horse trials. I've missed two of them. No reason to miss this time. I should pick up more ideas there. Breeders, not yet with bloodstock agents, that sort of thing.
I'd like to leave as soon as Kutsudis is aboard. He's not the only problem. I know you talked to your nephew, and you know that Lord Thornbuckle has asked me to take on Brune.
I'm willing. The lawyers can handle my suit just as well without me. Better, perhaps. They say I interfere. I didn't know it would affect Ronnie and Raffaella.
Harris thought of saying what she thought about the lawsuit, but considering her own family relations, she decided against it. She was hardly one to preach reconciliation with relatives. Brigdis Serkin hated being back on Rockhouse Major. Over on Minor, she had been able to pretend that they weren't in the same system where Amelie died. Here, every shop window, every bar, every slideway and bounce tube reminded her of Amelie. Here she had died, and into this station's recycler her physical cells had gone to become the elements of something else, even this meal. She shoved it away, disgusted suddenly by the rich aroma of stew and bread. Mahari leaned across the crowded table.
What's wrong, hon? Got a bug or something?
Serkin didn't want to answer. Mahari and the others had been so careful of her since the shooting, so sorry they'd believed a former shipmate and condemned her. They had organized that revenge on Amelie's counselor in hopes of cheering her up. They had enjoyed it a lot more than she did. She was tired of it, tired of having to be kind in return. What she really wanted, she thought, was to be somewhere else, with someone else, someone who wasn't part of the original mess. A face flickered in her memory a moment. The rich girl who had been Lady Cecilia's friend and pretended to be hers as well. She scolded herself into a deeper depression. Probably she wouldn't see Brun again. It was silly to keep looking at the presents Brun had bought as part of their pretense of courtship.
Hi there.
Serkin looked up, startled. Mahari scowled. Brun in the flesh, clearly excited and happy, in a soft blue silk jumpsuit that must have cost a fortune and brought out the blue of her eyes. Brun squeezed in next to Serkin with a chair she snagged from the next table.
We have to talk.
Serkin felt her face going hot. There was no need for this. That other game was long over.
And how did you find our humble eatery?
I asked where the Sweet Delight's crew usually ate. Since now I'm in the crew...
You're not. I wonder what the captain's thinking of.
Brun reached for a hunk of bread.
My father? He thinks I need seasoning before I'm turned loose on an unsuspecting universe. And he thinks Captain Serrano is the right person to provide it. And you, of course.
She grinned around the table. The others all stared at Brun, and Serkin hoped no one would notice how fast her own pulse was beating. She didn't know yet if she was happy about this or not, but she couldn't be indifferent.
I hope you're ready to go aboard and start working. Captain's told us to be ready to ship out at a half-shift notice.
Fine with me. I've already put my stuff aboard.
It's called duffel.
Duffel. Are you really angry? Or are you just pretending? Because I'm not really an idiot. I actually have some ship time.
On what?
On a shit shoveler. Caring for critters.
That's not ship time. That's just work. Proves you can work, but we'll see about you and the ship.
Serkin watched the others watching Brun and wondered. She felt less alone now, less the one being watched. And Brun still gave her a good feeling, as if they might really be friends. Esteban Kutsudis arrived at the ship line in a plain gray jumpsuit with a Sweet Delight arm patch already on it. That didn't surprise Harris. What did surprise her, a little, was that he'd made it here alive, if Lavati was right about how much danger he was in. Surely it would have been easier to take him on the station than on her ship. If not, she didn't want to think about that.
Esteban Kutsudis, sir.
He carried an ordinary kit bag slung over his shoulder and a couple of hand carries. She would have passed him in the concourse without a second thought. Just another traveler, neither rich nor broke, with an intelligent but unremarkable face.
Glad to have you aboard. Mr. Petrus will show you your quarters.
Kutsudis handed over a data cube.
Commander Lavati sent you this. He said I was to assist you in any way you liked.
Harris had her doubts about turning a superb long-scan communications tech loose on her equipment. But at the same time, she lusted for his expertise, She had suspected for years that Kutsudis was the secret of Lavati's success in more than one engagement.
When you've stowed your gear, Mr. Petrus will introduce you to the crew. Then we'll see.
She left a message for Lady Cecilia, who had gone off to talk to her lawyers again. Harris could believe they wanted her out of touch, at least for a while. She had been angry with her own family. She still was, if she thought about it. But it had never occurred to her to sue them. The rich are different, she reminded herself, as she notified traffic control that she would need a place in the outbound stack.